Okay, well,
and we are now live.
Okay, thank you. We will go ahead and call this meeting to order. And we'll start with roll call. Emily Secord is not here yet. Stephen Yet.
Present.
And Michelle Weber is present. The next item would be comments from the chair, and I don't believe I have any. So let's go ahead and move into items for action, which would be approval of minutes. And I don't, do I have approval? Do I have minutes to approve? Yes, yes we do. So I would entertain a motion to approve the committee meeting minutes from February 8th.
I can't make that motion because I was not at that meeting, so I am unable to vouch for the accuracy of what was in the packet.
So I was not at that meeting either. And that would have been Carl, Josh. And that I think is it, Carl and Josh. So how do we proceed from this point?
My recommendation would be, Camille, if we can maybe move those minutes into the regular board meeting on their consent and have the full board take action, given that there was other members there, I think we can just move them there. This is unusual even for us, so I think that's my recommendation.
Okay.
I can do that. Thank you.
Okay, perfect. So then we will skip that one for now and move into items for board recommendation. And it looks like we're starting with contract number 2021-09 from New Flyer of America.
Great. Well, thanks all for allowing me to be here today. My name is Kelly Hale, and I am the Sustainability Program Manager at LTD. I work with Matt Imlach in the in Fleet Management Department, and I'm here today to ask you to please forward to the Board of Directors with a recommendation of approval to authorize the General Manager to execute a contract with New Flyer of America for the purpose of purchasing up to 30 zero emission buses and electric charging equipment. And just because we've got new board members, just a quick reminder, I'm here before you today because the contract that we're asking for approval is above the threshold of $149,999. And so for that reason, we need your approval. And so this is a contract in the amount of $31,806,500. For up to 30 buses. And just to provide a quick piece of background, we are asking for this contract for zero emission buses. And the definition of a zero emission bus is either an electric vehicle or a hydrogen fuel cell vehicle. Both of them have zero tailpipe emissions. And so it provides us the flexibility if after the fleet procurement plan is concluded, if we decided to go above and beyond the electric bus purchase that was part of the climate action policy statement that the board passed back in June, we would have the flexibility to go to either technology based on the results of that fleet procurement plan project. But as you all know, the FTA defines the minimum useful life of a bus as 12 years. And actually LTD has approximately 40% of our fleet that has exceeded this 12-year minimum. And so because of that, we've got an aging fleet and we need to be able to purchase additional buses. And this contract would allow us to both meet the intent behind the climate action policy that you passed back in June, as well as modernize our fleet. And so because of that, we're here today. You have a couple of alternatives. You may choose reduce the overall quantity of buses that this contract is for below the 30 that we're asking for. And as you know, 11 of our electric buses arrived earlier this year. And The climate action policy says that we'll have 25 electric buses by 2023 or within the next 3 years. And so what we're asking for is, you know, the 30 buses to be able to have that flexibility, but if you wanted to reduce that just to the 14 so that we could meet the intent of the short-term goal that was part of the climate action policy, that's an alternative. The other alternative would be that our plan is to make this purchase under a state cooperative purchasing contract, which is a opportunity for LTD to streamline the contracting process and utilize the work done by a state agency to vet the appropriate contracting opportunities. But if you wanted us to not do that and go out for bid, we could do our own procurement, our own solicitation. The challenge with both of these alternatives is that if we reduce the total number of buses on the contract, it would take us longer to meet our fleet procurement goals. And if you wanted us to do our own solicitation, it would significantly increase the amount of time before we have these buses on site. So those are the two alternatives there, but there are some trade-offs, and I'm happy to take any questions about that. I'd also like to now turn it over to Matt Imlach, who is going to talk about some of the due diligence that LTD performed before bringing this contract before you today.
Yeah, thank you, Kelly. So to add to that, as we were going through just our due diligence, there was a report that came out in March about some of the job market there in Alabama and some of the things that did bring us to just ask some questions of a partner that we have with New Flyer. One of the things is manufacturing in the South, specifically looking at Anniston, where our electric buses previously were manufactured on. And it caused some opportunity for us to ask New Flyer some questions, which we did. And so we've had a few conversations with the New Flyer executive team. Also, just highlight that we met with an executive session just to talk through this with the board in regards to some of the allegations. And staff feels comfortable moving forward. But one thing we want to highlight that you'll see in the contract is a new thing to LTD, but it's this workforce diversity commitment statement. So in the packet, you'll see that it really highlights five additional topics that we want to be about as an agency. So that's just one thing we want to highlight for the contracts committee that you will see in your packet as part of our due diligence. And just a high level, when we talk to our partner, New Flyer, they are for this. They've actually also are a lead member in the APTA, who is a partner with the transit agency as a whole, and continue to want to ensure diversity in their workforce and their practices. So we're excited to have this a part of some of our contracting going forward as it's shown. And so I would highlight just that workforce commitment that LTD has in the packet. So thank you.
Okay, thank you very much for that explanation. Any discussion?
I have a couple points, but someone joined us with a phone number that ends in 948. Is that Emily by chance? I think it's Emily. She joined us.
I believe that it is. I just confirmed her phone number, and I believe that's Emily.
Welcome, Emily.
Okay, and Emily, it looks like she has raised her hand, so we will let her unmute and share with her what her thoughts are.
Thank you. Can you guys hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Stephen, if you want to go ahead with your questions, I just have one follow-up potentially.
You go first, please.
Okay, well, I was just going to ask if we had gotten any feedback from the last conversation we had with New Flyer. Did they come out with anything further with our follow-up discussion points?
They have. They've sent us some additional information.
Okay, and I think if we still feel good about that, then that's all I was looking for, is a confirmation.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, Stephen.
Thanks, Michelle. First, a question for Kelly. Following up on your point about if we were thinking about scaling back the quantity, I imagine that the contract we're signing with New Flyer has a condition, maybe that's a question for Matt or Colina, but if we're not satisfied at some point, if they send us bus number 7 or bus number 12, and Matt and Colina and Kelly are rolling, you all are rolling your eyes because of issues, we can cancel any further buses, correct?
That is correct. Matt, go ahead.
Yeah, I can. I was playing off of Kalina's head, but yes, that is something from a quality standpoint. We want to continue to monitor, ensure that the buses, we have 11 on site right now that we'll continue to watch to see if the performance meets our expectations.
Okay, then my other point is addressing the issues that were brought up at our last executive session, the board, the issues that were brought up there that you addressed, Matt. I've made a couple phone calls, and the Anniston plant actually has a history of some labor issues, not dissimilar to what we're hearing when it was a NABI plant, 2013 and earlier, very similar issues. And New Flyer might have the best of intentions to change the culture. As we all know, culture is a very difficult thing to change. And I think the potential allegations, not saying they're true or not, or not true, but the allegations that minorities are not treated well, et cetera, I think is very serious. And I would strongly suggest or like to see LTD have in their contract the right to insist that New Flyer shift the manufacturing of the buses that are coming to us to Minnesota. They have two plants in Minnesota. They can manufacture them there. I have information that that would not be a major problem for them. And that would give a lot more, what is what I'm looking for? A lot more teeth in our position that we expect New Flyer to honestly address these issues that are being brought up. And if we aren't satisfied, we can ask them, shift this manufacturing north to the Minnesota plants.
I can't speak from the contracting, but I do know other partners have chosen to go away from the Anniston plant. I don't think it's for this purpose, but that is a choice. So I will allow maybe Kalina to add context to that, but if that's what the board and the contract committee would like, we can entertain those options.
So I just want to offer an opinion. I don't necessarily believe that shifting the manufacturing of the buses to a different plant that is not undergoing this shift for New Flyer would necessarily underline for us our commitment to that in our discussions with New Flyer. I specifically asked where any of the programs that they were developing at the Anniston plant moving forward at any of their other plants, and they're not. They're piloting all of these programs in Anniston. Also, I would have to say, I'm a native of Alabama, having worked at the transit agency in Birmingham, I am familiar with NABI's experience, but I'm also familiar with that community for having family there. And so I perceive, and this is just that, also shifting the manufacturing of the buses from that plant would possibly further underline what the issue is there, because that's taking work from that community and shifting it to another community. And I cannot say, if we're looking at the news, that the Minnesota plant and the environment that's at in Minnesota at all, it would be much different from the environment that's in Alabama. I do believe that it is worth, and AJ said that these are not my words, but as LTD, this is a work in progress for us. And so our goal with New Flyer is to engage with them as partners And I think that prior to now, nobody was holding New Flyer or any of our other business partners in the transit industry accountable. There's a commitment to racial equity that I'll be bringing to the board on April 21st, but the genesis of that is APTA's, the American Public Transportation Association's adoption of their commitment to racial equity and their racial equity strategic plan. And in that plan, it is to hold the transit industry and its business partners accountable beyond, and I love this particular statement, beyond compliance. And New Flyer has stated to us that they are involved with APTA, that they are involved in the diversity and inclusion committee, and that they are committed to working through this issue at the plant. And I just would have to say, you know, not just as a contracting officer, but also as the chairperson for our diversity and inclusion committee, or council rather, at LTD, I feel comfortable with this being a starting point for our engagement with New Flyer. And I believe our request. So if you're looking at the actual commitment statement, we ask them to develop metrics. We ask them to track those things. And internally, what we have discussed is that at each order, we would ask for an update as to how the pilot has gone in the Anniston plant, and as to any launch of that program in their other plants. Again, I just want to say, I do not believe that the environment in Minnesota, and that's with George Floyd in Minneapolis and the most recent case that happened yesterday or the day before yesterday, I cannot say from a person of color, as well as from a contracting officer's standpoint, that the environment is any different. And so I don't know if making the request to move our buses to that plan is going to achieve the goal. I do think that we continue to hold New Flyer accountable. I do think that we continue to walk with them as we're walking through our journey and taking our journey, that, and they have committed to walking with us through this. And so that's just my thoughts in that regard.
Stephen, did you have any follow-up on that?
I do. Thank you, Michelle. Mm-hmm. Colina, thank you for those very thoughtful comments. And I want to be clear on a couple things. I am not suggesting that we insist now to move the manufacturing of these plants north to Minnesota. I'm saying, and actually what I am suggesting, in my opinion, aligns with what you are suggesting, is let's hold New Flyer accountable. And if New Flyer sees that we are potentially moving the, asking them, telling them that we want the plant, the manufacturing moved north, only if we are not satisfied. I think that underpins, highlights LTD's serious commitment that everyone, regardless of color, et cetera, gets treated fairly. I think that actually adds teeth and highlights our sense of accountability to this issue. And with all due respect, yes, what happened in Minnesota, the murder of George Floyd, is disgusting. But I think we got to be careful that we do not conflate what happened in one situation in Minnesota, albeit very serious, with what may or may not be happening at the St. Cloud or Crookston plants that are being run by New Flyer. So I just want to make that point. Again, not to diminish what happened, the murder of George Floyd. So I just think it's something we put in there. And again, it just highlights our commitment to this cause and make it very clear to New Flyer that in case they do not satisfy you, do not satisfy Matt and Kelly and us, that this is something that they will have to deal with.
Emily, did you still have your hand raised?
No, thank you.
Okay. All right, any other comments related to this contract? Okay. So then we would be at the stage where we would entertain a motion to move this contract forward.
May I ask something to recommend to the committee that may be helpful? Is perhaps, and I can state it, Stephen, maybe you can correct me, or and then maybe a motion is that the committee recommends to the LCD full board of directors that we move forward with the contract with New Flyer, and that we move forward with caution, ensuring that diversity, equity, and inclusion, that commitment by New Flyer is closely monitored, and that the board direct LTD staff to take appropriate action into the quality of the buses or any concerns related, so that staff is making sure that we're looking at LTD's top priority throughout this contract. So my recommendation would be that we do, that this committee do approve it, but approves it with the caution of quality and, of course, the diversity, equity, and inclusion element, up to and including requiring New Flyer to switch their production if it does not meet our standards. Stephen, is that acceptable to you, or would you like to reword that differently? Apologize for the lengthiness. I'm trying to summarize.
Thank you, AJ. I just would like to see the clause that I mentioned. I want to respect Colina's points, which I think are valuable, but I think just having this clause in there that to exercise if we want to, I think is important, and not having it in there is like leaving a card on the side. We don't have to play it, but again, I just think it strengthens our hand when we're having these serious discussions with them if we are not satisfied with how they're addressing these serious issues.
Okay, it looks like Sean has his hand up, so we'll let him share with us his thoughts.
Sure. Here comes legal counsel with throwing a wrench in the system. So this contract is a cooperative procurement, meaning that, and correct me if I'm wrong, but that the state of California actually procured this contract with New Flyer, and LTD is piggybacking on that contract. And so the terms of the contract have been established between the state of California and New Flyer. Now, Oregon law, allows us to do what's called an interstate cooperative procurement, and that's what we're doing. Importantly, we can't make any material change in the terms, conditions, or prices of the contract. And so, and frustratingly, the law does not clearly define what is a material change. And so adding or modifying a provision in the contract, dictating the location of manufacturing, that could be argued as a material change. And so we just need to be careful about, adding any clause or provisions that would be considered a material change in the terms, conditions, or prices of the contract. And adding those material changes is not permitted.
That just kills my idea, Sean. Thanks a lot.
we're actually doing some, I'm working with Rebecca, who's the lead on this procurement. And so we're checking the contract now as we're kind of going through this to see what provisions we have. So it might be a to be continued, but I want to see, does it allow for Minnesota or Alabama, or does it only call out one manufacturing site? So we're checking that right now. it might have to be something we bring back to everybody if we can't find it quickly.
You mind if I just jump in for a second again? No, and maybe I'm thinking that LTD has more sway, but I think this might be a chance for LTD, to use a common term, to be a thought leader here. Why don't we reach out to our compatriots that are signing this contract in California that are the lead on this and bring up this issue? It would be even more potent if New Flyer hears that the big dog in this contract also considers this issue to be very serious and have them get behind it. Again, to beat that horse just briefly again is not a guarantee, but it just gives us some leverage and would give the California folks leverage to let New Flyer know that these are really serious issues. And to Colina's point, which I think again is spot on, leaving the town when there's a problem often just lets that problem persist without the conscious around it. But this would be a way for us to let New Flyer know that, again, this is serious, we take it seriously, and maybe we can get the other folks in California to come to our way of looking at this.
Okay, so do we want to put a hold on this one for right now and move into the next contract? Is that what I'm hearing?
So Stevens, was that a sufficient direction that we can approve the contract to go before the board with that context as part of the summary, or what do you think?
I think so. I just would like to see us, again, just reach out to the California folks who are leading this and try to get them on board with this. And as I said before, hopefully a larger voice would make our point even stronger.
We'll definitely reach out, Stephen. We'll do that right now. So and definitely before you guys take this to the board, we'll have a resolution for you guys and have it shored up.
Sean, did you have something else that you wanted to add?
Well, I was just going to be annoying again and point out that this contract is likely already done. I think the contract date was 2019. And so this contract is entered into. It's already, the terms are already set. And you know, there's probably already transactions under these terms that have already taken place. And so they can't be changed, you know, at this point. That having been said, you know, I don't, I would presume that there are termination clauses in the contract that allow for termination due to lack of, you know, certain conditions. Now that, I'm sure that those termination clauses exist, but that's just for termination. There probably isn't a provision that allows, you know, for the shifting of manufacturing. So, just adding those details.
Sean, Michelle, you mind if I jump in for a second?
Go ahead.
Sean, I appreciate that, but again, I'm sorry to beat on this horse, but I think it's such an important one, it's worth staying with. And I appreciate that this contract is signed and we are the junior partners to this contract. But I think as times change, it's important for those who are a party to any contract to take a stand and make their voice known. It may not have any contractual value or legal value, but I think it has social value. And I guess a quick example is there are deeds, there are restrictions on certain deeds that are out there that say, no Jews, no Blacks, no this, no that. And they still, even though it's written, they are disregarded only because at some point someone stood up and said, no, that just doesn't fly anymore. That is not acceptable. So I think it's important for us to raise our voices. And if this contract is already signed and inked, and we are the junior partner.
Okay. Any other thoughts, questions? Okay. So do we want to entertain a motion to move this forward to the board for more discussion, or where do we want to go from here? Stephen or Emily, any thoughts there?
I think as long as we're comfortable with the quality of the buses that we have currently and we have good direction for the staff, I feel okay about this, especially with Stephen's comments and Kalina and Matt's updates. I think we should do a motion to send it to the board and get a couple more updates at that time.
Okay. So I will take a motion for moving this contract forward then. Or was that good enough to move us to a second?
Michelle, I think you can make a motion and we can second it.
You want me to lead the meeting and make the motions? Wow, you guys are a tough crowd.
Well, you're talented.
Today would be helpful.
Okay, I move to forward contract number 2021-09 to the Board of Directors with a recommendation for approval.
Second.
Okay. I will then go through this with roll call. Emily.
Aye.
Stephen.
Aye.
And I too vote aye. Okay, we made it through that one. Next.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay, next, contract number 2020-01 with DBS Consulting.
Hello, this is Christina Shu. Hi, I'm the Director of Finance, and I'm going to be asking you today for your approval to forward for the board approval of the execution of up to 5-year sole source agreement contract for grant management with DBS Consulting. And grant management is a critical role within LTD. In the next year, we will be programming $76 million in stimulus dollars, and in fiscal year 2022 alone, this role is budgeted to manage $54 million in federal capital and state operating funds. This role requires specialized transit industry and LTD project expertise in order to utilize the community investment plan to find grants to pay for our projects. This role not only researches available grants, but it also prepares the grant applications and administers the awarded grants. Administration requires close coordination with the Federal Transit Administration, the Metropolitan Planning Organization, ODOT, and local partners, as well as compliance with all grant terms and conditions, including on-time reporting, purchasing, internal control, and audit requirements. This role works closely with all of our project managers, and it works cross-organizationally to improve our internal grant program expertise. The DBS consulting contract originated back in 2016 when they were the sole bidder for a procurement for on-call grant management services. Since then, DBS Consulting has done an outstanding job for us, including cleaning up lapsing funds and improving our relationship with our grantors like the FTA, the MPO, the ODOT, and our local partners. The initial contract was revised in 2017 to be a fixed price flat monthly fee of $10,000 or $120,000 over a 12-month period. And this flat fee includes all costs, including travel. We have renewed this contract annually because of the rarity of the expertise required and because this contract is cost-effective for the district. The district's medium-term plan is to continue to recruit for and eventually hire a grants manager. The current efforts to recruit have been disappointing, as well as additional efforts to identify other qualified contractors. Given the complexities, critical nature, and specialization of transit grants work, our intention is to utilize DBS Consulting in parallel with the grants manager once recruited for up to a full annual cycle to ensure a smooth transition. This position is paid for with general fund dollars and has been included in the fiscal year 21 adopted and the fiscal year 2022 proposed budgets. And we ask for your approval of this contract, which is for a 2-year base term with 3 12-month options to renew. And the total contract value over the entire potential 5-year contract term is $600,000. And this committee, the contracts committee, has a couple of alternative options for to approval. You can, of course, deny approval of the updated contract, or you can renew the contract for a shorter period of time, and we can solicit to obtain an alternative grant management consultant provider, or we can pursue an employee hire.
Thank you, Christina, for that background. Any discussion, comments, questions?
Christina, there was a question or a comment regarding the search for an appropriate candidate, maybe to have an in-house position. Can you talk a little bit more about that process and what it would take to get somebody kind of up to speed and specialized in this particular industry?
Yeah, absolutely. So it would take, first, we did try to hire internal grants, but the timing of doing that right now is challenging because it was posted for over 6 months and we had not had any good qualified candidates apply. And then in addition, right now, you know, we have some challenges with our HR, you know, being contracted as well. And the cost to actually have a Robert Half would also mean cost to the district of over $20,000 just to pay for the recruitment. Those reasons, in addition to the fact that the model that we currently have is working, and we're going to be in the process shortly of implementing a new ERP system. So being able to take advantage of a lot of the expertise that the DBS Consulting has gained over the course of the time since being in place since 2016 to help us with that implementation is actually critical, in addition to the fact that it's a very cost-effective solution for us, because any grant management position that we would hire, the costs for a grant manager would be anywhere between $75,000 and like $100,000 and plus benefits, whereas the current contract is $120,000 per year. Did I answer your question or not really, Emily?
No, that was great. Thank you. Yeah, and okay. I like that you kind of gave us a cost comparison of hiring, you know, what that price point would be for the district and why we don't have that person currently. Thank you.
Great. Anything else that I can answer for people?
Stephen, do you have any questions or thoughts that you want to add?
Thanks, Michelle. No, I haven't had sufficient time to dig into this particular contract.
Okay. So how do we feel about a motion to move this one forward?
I just have one quick question. Sorry, Michelle.
That's okay.
I'm also curious, do you have other expenses related to grants that will be offset by going with this contract?
Other expense, so we get, you know, basically the monies that are brought in, is that what you're saying? More than offset the cost of the grant manager position. Is that what you're asking? Or are you asking, are there other costs?
Kind of. Well, I think that we have other like consulting fees potentially. I just want to make sure that we're understanding sort of all of the sort of underlying expenses that go along with grants and whether or not those are going to be redirected via this contract, or if those are going to be in addition to?
There is the cost for our internal IGA with LCOG that helps us with the STIF grants. And that is actually 100% reimbursed though, because 100% of the cost of managing this STIF as the QE is chargeable to the grant. So in terms of what is it costing LTD, there are no other consulting costs besides this one contract, because the other one is reimbursed 100%.
Got it. Thank you. And my last question, sorry to be a pain. Is there a way, is there any cost savings to do a long-term contract versus doing it a one-year renewable?
So I'd say that we are doing great, that this was a contract that we initiated back in 2016. And by locking in the same price for 5 years, that means 10 years, we would have had no change to the price of a grant manager, which if we look at what it costs to, you know, actually go out and bid, they're much higher cost per hour and cost per a grant manager. And just looking at what we've also paid for our employees, right? There are wage increases, ATU contracts is about 3%, right? And roughly per year. And so this has not changed. So I'd say this is a great deal to lock it in for 5 years.
Thank you. And I was just thinking, if we haven't had a price increase, we should either A, expect one, or B, not expect one and just continue on annually renewable until the price goes up. But there's some, you know, risk there.
Well, there's no risk here because we're locking in $120,000 per year for 5 years. And in that 5 years, we will hire a grant manager, right? Like once we implement the new ERP system, get through that process, then we can make a good assessment of what the new system is capable of and what exactly the expertise would be that we would want to bring in given our new system, right? And then that way, we would run parallel for up to a year just to make sure we have a smooth transition. And so we're not actually putting any risk in by signing this contract because we're actually helping the district by signing the contract.
Yeah, sorry to clarify. Just the what I meant was we're taking on risk if we don't sign the contract, that the price could go up if we don't sign. Sorry.
Yeah. Yes, that's correct. This locks it in for 5 years, which is to me, given that there are also risks of inflation and other things, locking in $120,000 per year is a pretty good thing.
Okay, I see Stephen with a hand up.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Michelle. Christina, do you find it at all curious that no increase for potentially 10 years?
I do not find it. I find it to be a good thing for the district, so I don't question that. And I know I work, you know, you guys have asked about the check, the $10,000 per month to Gloria, and that is this DBS consulting. And I know that she's a very experienced grants person. She's done a lot of really good things for the district. And I think she does it for one, she cares very much about transit and she has the same passion for the organization that the rest of my team does. And also I think that she's a single person, so she doesn't actually have the need for all of the, I think medical things that maybe someone else might incur. So that I think it's a mutually beneficial to her and to the district.
Christina, can I ask, if you guys mind, I can also, explain a little bit of that. So these types of contracts, normally grants consultants take on multiple agencies, and they may, I mean, very much like lobbyists, charge maybe 5 here, 10 there, 3 there. And there's a lack of efficiency when a consultant, especially doing grants, is working with multiple financial systems, multiple reporting, multiple scopes, multiple teams. I think the efficiency here is the fact that because we have a lot of funds right now, the efficiency to the contractor also is the fact that they can stay on with one agency versus seeking 3 or 4 agencies to get similar and be less efficient.
So I think there's an efficiency in locking in a contract. The contractor knows our system, knows all of our processes, is basically working with all the project managers in similar templates that Christina's established. So I think there's an efficiency element that works both ways. It's mutually beneficial because the consultants can, you know, maybe work for Salem, work for Corvallis, work for multiple agencies, but every agency, we all have our own way of doing things. So there's a lot lost, and the costs go up to each agency by having that lack of the efficiency. So I think that's where we're benefiting, and the consultant also can benefit there.
But forgive me if this is naive, but isn't there an opportunity for us to do sort of that junior partnership, like we're sourcing the New Flyer buses then?
We could do that, except the cost would be a lot higher for us because of the lack of efficiency. So right now we're at a point in which if we have somebody that was only working, that was working on multiple agencies, they would have to transition when they finish one agency to the next agency. So we could be paying a lot more, and Christina would, and her team, or maybe we would have to hire much quicker. So what we are asking the board today is up to 5 years, but as Christina said, the plan in place is that as we buy our financial system will actually take on some of technology, and then we will be able to evaluate what skills that we want to hire in a full-time employee and have this consultant help us with that transition. So the goal is, given the evolving technology, we're asking the board to kind of give Christina the opportunity to go to that point, but her base contract that she's asking today is 2 years, right, Christina?
It's 2 years, yes, but with 3 12-month options to extend, but we can cancel at any time if we have a better alternative for the district.
Yep. Yeah. And so we're trying to build in our own efficiencies by using some technology offset to do that. And we are kind of thinking ahead multiple years versus coming to the board every single year and saying, we're not there yet, we're not there yet. Christina has evaluated that it would be a 2 years for sure for implementation with at least a 1 year extension, but she's providing the opportunity for up to 3 years.
Okay, I think I got confused. So do we have the efficiency built in because DBS is working with multiple agencies, or don't we?
No, they're only working with LTD. That's where the efficiency is. All the grants are all LTD grants.
I see. I'm sorry. It sounded like the benefit of this consulting group was that they worked with multiple transit agencies like Salem, Portland, et cetera. Thank you for clarifying.
No, the efficiency is that this firm is dedicated only to LTD. So there's an efficiency to the consultant, right? Only having to deal with one agency versus multiple.
Okay, then I'm comfortable with this motion. However, I think it would be really wise for us to reach out to our other transit agencies and find out who they're using and see if there's an opportunity for us to source with them as we did with the New Flyer buses, if that is something that we can do in the transit industry.
I've talked to some of the other agencies. Most of them, they have someone that's on staff, and I can tell you when they have turnover, they've had a lot of challenges because it's really hard to hire the special needs for transit knowledge. And I talked to Salem, they hired a grant person recently, and they're always calling us for help on their grants. So I do know that it is a rare skill that it will take a while to actually recruit for. And it will take a while to actually get somebody up to speed to make sure that that we have a really smooth transition, because we have worked on having a good relationship with ODOT, the FTA, I mean, all those organizations. And I think having DBS Consulting help us has really made a difference. And so I really, I guess I'm reluctant to change things right now, especially while my team is going to be trying to implement a new ERP system and we're going to be stretched already.
Thank you. That's all helpful to understand.
Thank you.
Stephen, was your hand up or it's down now, but I just want to make sure you didn't have anything else you wanted to add.
Nothing at the moment. Thank you.
Okay. And Emily, you said you are comfortable moving this forward?
Yes, I think so. But if somebody else could make the motion, that would be helpful.
Okay. I just want to make sure I heard you right. Okay. Let's see. Where are we? Find the right one. Okay, so is it 2021-25? The agenda says 01, so I just want to make sure I give the right one.
Yeah, it's 25. Yeah, 2021-25 is what it should
be. Okay.
Thank you.
Just make sure I have the right one. So I move to forward contract number 2021-25 to the Board of Directors with a recommendation for approval.
I'll second that.
Thank you. Okay, so we'll go through that with roll call. Emily?
Aye.
Stephen?
Abstain.
Okay. And I will vote aye. We can move that one forward and have further discussion at the board level. And that will take us into the next contract, which is 2020-165 with Pivot Architecture. Any questions, comments, thoughts on that one? No, Emily, nothing?
Not on this one, though.
Okay, Stephen, you're good?
I'm good. They're a decent firm, local firm.
Okay. All right. I have no questions either. So I will.
Good job, Michelle. You moved us right along on that one.
Yay. Got one out of the gate really fast. Okay, so I move to forward contract number 2020-165 to the Board of Directors with a recommendation for approval.
Second.
Thank you, Stephen. We'll go through that with roll call. Emily?
Aye.
Stephen?
Aye.
And I too vote aye. And we are moving ahead to the last contract, which is 2020-156 with Upward Landscape Solutions. Do we have any questions or comments on that one?
My only question was, I don't think either of the last two were sole source contracts, so I just wanted to check in and make sure that was the case for the landscaping one as well.
I'm sorry, can you ask that question again, Emily? I didn't hear the last sentence, the last part of your sentence.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just want to make sure the landscaping went out for bid. I'm pretty sure it did. I couldn't remember.
Yeah, it did as well. So we did an RFQ for that A&E and then this, we did an RFP for the landscaping.
Mm-hmm. Okay, sorry. I didn't have my packet in front of me and I just wanted to make sure of that one. Thank you.
Yeah, no worries, no worries.
Sean, you have something you want to add here?
Yeah, Emily, I don't know if I just heard you, but the DBS contract is a sole source. Is that correct, Wendy?
Yeah, yes, that was the sole source. She was just asking if the landscaping was actually competitively bid or how we solicited that.
Okay.
So yeah, and we did do a formal RFP for the landscaping.
Yep, thank you.
Okay, great. Stephen?
Wendy, regarding the folks who responded for the landscaping, how many replies did we get?
We actually only ended up getting one response. And so when we did our due diligence, we reached out to the vendors that were local, we assumed would, we invited to propose. When they didn't, we didn't hear back. We tried several times and we finally did hear from one of the locals that said they just, their schedule was so busy, they just couldn't, they couldn't fit us into their schedule. So they chose not to participate.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but in the past, wasn't Elms our landscape contractor?
Yes, but they actually, maybe Sunny can speak to this a little bit better than I can, but I believe that Elms used to be formerly known as Upward. Upward used to be formerly known as Elms, and now that's who is the person who, the vendor that won this. So it's the same company. It just had a name change at the duration of our last contract with them.
Got it. So Keith did a name change.
Yes. Sunny, can you speak to that? I believe that it was
Keith retired. Keith retired, and this is actually his son owns Upward Landscape Solutions. Ken.
Hey, Sean, can you clarify that for us? So we only got one bid, but it technically wasn't a sole source. Can you just help me understand that for future reference?
Yeah, so I mean, it's, I think the critical part is the way it was procured. It was, you know, advertised out to the world, you know, available to everyone. And that's, you know, that's different to a sole source where you go directly to one person, you know, and not kind of give everyone an opportunity, you know, to be a contractor. Does that answer
your
question?
Thank you. That makes, it makes total sense when you say it that way. Thank you for clearing that up.
Stephen, did you have some more thoughts you wanted to add?
Yeah, thank you, Michelle. So Wendy, are you comfortable that the other local landscapers, prior to you reaching out to them, which I appreciate you doing after we only got Upward's response, prior to that, were they aware of this? Did they have enough time to respond, or were they caught off guard, like said, oh, we didn't know that this was coming up for bid?
Yeah, so I can't speak for anything that happened before it came across procurement's desk. But yeah, so we advertised this, I believe it was for 5 or 6 weeks. Typical is a 28-day on our eBid website. So we had this out a little longer. We had a pre-proposal walkthrough. I reached out to several vendors letting them know this was out there. It's on our eBid website. So we also advertised through different channels. So it was out there. So I did feel comfortable. And then also just reaching out, knowing that it's just a busy time and people couldn't respond to it. So, but.
And this is a 1 year contract?
5 year contract. It's basically, we set it for 1 year with options to renew each year.
And that option is exercised by us or the provider?
By us, 100% us. We initiate that anytime that we want to extend.
Okay, and so if are we allowed to not renew if for any reason?
Yep, we can cancel at any time with like a 30-day notice. And then if we opt not to, we just provide that notice to them in writing to let them know ahead of that contract, the expiration date of that term. We just provide it in writing, our desire to cancel the contract. And then we would just have to make sure and have something in place before we let that go, just so that we have landscaping services. So we would quickly do it. If let's say we opted not to renew next year, within a 6 months of that expiring, we would definitely want to have an RFP back out on the street solicited again.
Thank you. That's helpful. Appreciate your time on this.
Okay. Emily, any other questions from you?
Okay. Yes. And I'm just being picky, so forgive me. if we have a 5-year contract, is there a like calendar reminder that pops up that says, hey, put this back out for RFP, or does it stay up for RFP like indefinitely so other vendors can weigh in when it's not their busy season?
So because of the way that it's awarded, we don't have it out there perpetually like that. But what we do have is, like, you know, when we extend the last year of that contract, the team would always be evaluating that service throughout the year. But on the last evaluation, they let us know, or we know, hey, this is the last extension of this contract. And so by this date, we need to have an RFP fully proposed and on the street. So we always give that. Procurement keeps an eye on that, as well as the contract manager and the project managers. And we have that communication at least a year in advance, so we have time to quickly make those adjustments and get a new proposal out, because as you guys know, that does take time sometimes.
Mm-hmm. So would that be at the 1-year renewable mark or the 5-year mark?
Unless there were issues, we would do that at the 5-year. So on that last renewal, then that's when we would start talking about putting this out for proposal again, unless there was a reason why they weren't happy with that contract.
Steven?
Yeah, thank you, Michelle. Mm-hmm. Wendy, would you mind, whenever it is convenient for you, could you email to Michelle and Emily and me the actual scope of work for this landscape? I'm just trying to get an idea of what $240,000 buys in 2021. And then also, what sort of checks do we have in to make sure the work that we're paying for is actually being done?
Yep. I'm gonna let Sunny speak to that. Sunny or Joe, if you guys don't mind, they actually manage that contract for us and manage that work. And so they'll be able to respond to that better than I can.
Yeah, I can answer that. I'm Sunny Mulhorn. I'm the service specialist for facilities management. And that's my main goal in my position, is to keep track of the contracts and make sure we're getting what we pay for. What one big piece to this to keep track of what's getting done is our facilities team. We have staff of generalists that go out and check all our facilities and make sure everything's looking good and working. And this is one of those checks. So actually, I'm kind of working between the contractor and with our team to make sure that work's getting done.
That's helpful, Sunny. Thank you. Just one other final question. Do we put in these contracts that we want at all chances to use organic materials and avoid chemicals? I think that's in line with our general ethos of being green, et cetera. Do we have that level of guidance to our provider?
Yeah, I made sure that was actually a change in the scope, was to make sure that it was all, every chemical is approved by us, that we approve that. And of course, we're not going to approve anything unless it's absolutely necessary. Good comparisons. We got the city of Eugene does parks that are all green parks, but sometimes they got to use some herbicides here and there just for invasive plants. So that'd be like the only exception there. So yeah, we control all that to keep green.
Again, thank you, Sunny. I appreciate that and appreciate your time on this.
You're welcome.
Any other questions? Okay. So are we, we're comfortable moving this one forward?
Just like a dandelion.
Okay. I move to forward contract number 2020-156 to the Board of Directors with a recommendation for approval.
Second.
Thank you. And we'll go through that with roll call. Emily?
Aye.
Steven?
Aye.
And I too vote aye. So we will move that one forward to the board for further discussion. Okay. With that, I think we're through them all. There's nothing else to add to this. We can adjourn.
I have a brief brief thought, if you guys don't mind, just like one more minute, and this might be something that we need to take to the regular board, not this committee, but I have two concerns, and that's one, I think we should always be trying to tack onto somebody else's contract whenever there's an opportunity for a partnership, just because I think it would save us and that partner a lot of money potentially. And two, I'm concerned that if we say that we're going out for bid and we only get one bid back, that it is a sole source. And not in the sense of the word, but just in the sense of the, you know, sort of spirit of the intention. And so I'm curious if there's an opportunity that we just say all of our contracts are annually renewable and those RFPs are available all the time and not just every 5 years in, for example, this scenario. Do you guys have any thoughts on that really briefly? And do you think that's better discussion for the board?
So I can weigh in.
Or maybe staff already does this. I don't know.
Yeah, and I can weigh in that. So it's very time consuming to do bids every year. And so it really is more practical to have an extended contract period in which we can cancel the contract at any time. We've always got that in our contracts. And so, you know, if you're going out for every contract every year, it's just such a time consuming process that we would have to hire more people. I mean, in reality.
Sure. I guess my concern is that they're not actually competitive bids on the beginning of that 5-year contract. And so where it's saving money over a 5-year period, we don't really know that.
Rarely do we get one bid. I mean, in this case, we did because, you know, people were just, you know, very busy. And so, sure. You know, either if they don't perform or, you know, there's other problems, then, you know, we go back out, we cancel the contract. But again, you're underestimating the amount of time it takes to actually do an RFP, go out to bid, and the process.
May I just add something just for you to consider, Emily? So, The Sean was correct in terms of the solicitation was actually competitively bid. And there is, in procurement, there is a such thing as called a sole response or a single response. And in that, we didn't go into that detail in the AIS, and maybe we should do that moving forward. But there's a single bid analysis that is required, and that's required by FTA, but it is also just the standard of business. And so a part of that, Wendy talked about contacting the vendor to find out, the vendors to find out why they didn't respond. That's just a part of that single bid analysis. And so a part of that is, the first thing that you're gonna do is you take a look at who came to my pre-proposal and did we have activity on the solicitation. And so you're gonna go back, and for us, we look at our electronic bidding system. How many people downloaded it? Who did they? Did people download the addenda? Did people submit questions? You know, how did that? So you wanna look at the activity on the solicitation. And then after that, you will go and you take a look at your scope of work, and you want to look at whether or not, so you revisit with the team. Are there any elements in the scope of work that we made too exclusive, or did we limit competition in any way by the way that we wrote up the scope of work? And so when you go through this analysis, then the final thing is engaging with the vendors who did have activity, who did download the solicitation documents, who did come to your pre-proposal meeting. And so that's the end part of what she talked about. But then the team, like Sonny, he had to also do a price analysis. That's a part of that, to ensure that the price, the cost that we're paying is in line with market, and that we're not overpaying in some way because we only got a single bid. And so there's some analysis that goes into, and that is required, and that's required to be in our procurement files, along with the resolution and all of the other things that's required to go into our files for FTA, to ensure that ultimately that our process is fair and reasonable, and that the prices that we're paying for the services that we solicit are fair and reasonable.
Super helpful. Thank you, Kalina. So you feel like that's already in your best practices, and we don't need to concern ourselves with it.
I'm not saying that you shouldn't concern yourself. I'm just saying I think that we have some parts in our already built into our procurement code that help us with that. I do believe that we could probably, as a staff, be a little more transparent and walk you through that process when we have these single bid situations, which, as Mark stated, are rare. But when we have those, I think that what we can note for each time is to make sure to walk you through the process that we follow in making the assessment to still bring it before the board. Because one of the questions that we ask is it going to be beneficial to us to put this back out to bid? And so, in engaging with the vendors, it's if we put this back out to bid again, would you bid? And a lot of them say no, you know, or maybe. And so that's just weighing all of the things that we weigh when we're taking a look at a single bid response.
Okay. Emily, are you good?
I think so. Are you guys okay with that? Am I the only one that had questions?
No, I think that I appreciate your question, and I think it's just us understanding what actually happened behind the scenes to get us to that single bid.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm good.
Okay, awesome. All right. Well, then I think we can go ahead and adjourn this meeting.
Thanks, everybody.
All right. Good night.
Thank you. We appreciate you all. Thank you.